Good afternoon and welcome to the last and final edition of Reels to Radio here on KDUR, collaboration with the Durango Independent Film Festival. Tomorrow marks the last day of the 7th annual DIFF week that we have here. And lots of great artists or filmmakers have been coming up here, and different people of all different trades have been on air talking about their film, and the department heads, the chair heads of all these different, the shorts and the docs and the native and the LGBTQ, and we've just talked about all sorts of stuff happening, as well as panels. On today's final edition of Reels to Radio, we'll feature Mary Lee Herman, who has her short coming up as part of the women's short program, The Necklace. Welcome.
Thank you.
And also a couple of knuckleheads across the way, someone who's familiar and has been on KDUR before, Craig Sometko, who is a photographer who's been featured up here as part of Open Shutter Gallery. He also is author of Unposed. He'd be the co-host of the award ceremony Sunday night, and coming up tomorrow from 11 to noon, he will be hosting the What's So Funny panel and co-hosting it as well in here with John Rubano, who is sitting on that panel and will be co-hosting with Craig. Welcome, you two folks.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
It's nice to have everybody in here and a little bit different perspective about film and different angles that we'll be taking with comedy and the short. But let's start it off with you here, Mary Lee, today. You'll be doing The Necklace, which I see. Are you wearing the necklace from the film?
Indeed I am.
It's a beautiful necklace. So for you listeners out there, it's turquoise. Is that gold on there too?
It is. Actually, the necklace, it's kind of a wonderful story. The necklace was designed for the film. I met a designer about 10 days before my shoot. And originally I was like, oh, well, I'll pick something at a thrift store if I have to. But I met this woman in Boulder who's a designer, and I told her about the story of the film. And she said, let's make something. Hmm. And so she designed this beautiful piece that you can see in person tomorrow at noon. And it's actually gold, yellow gold and rubies and black diamond, and then a gorgeous piece of turquoise.
Very cool. Now, tell us about the necklace. It is a short. What is it running here, about 13 minutes?
No, actually, it's 6 minutes.
It's 6 minutes. Oh, that was your other film that I was referring to, the Ashley one. But let's talk about the necklace.
The necklace is, it's my directorial debut. I had decided I wanted to make a film that could kind of be my calling card. And I sort of started to get some perimeters. I wanted one location. I wanted two actors. I didn't want to go over the top. And I wanted it to be really, really short. I just wanted it to be tight. And I connected with a writer in Denver. And then one night we're talking about story. One night I was having dinner with a friend of mine, and she conveyed a story of her life. And I thought, that's it. And I went home. I emailed my writer, and now I have this wonderful 6-minute piece about two sisters, a conversation between two sisters who are very different. And the one has kind of taken the more conventional road in life and felt that, well, that should have led to happiness. And she sort of has to admit to her younger sister, who's also in her middle-aged sister, that maybe that isn't how things turned out.
Hmm. And so is it tough doing? We've talked a little bit about this. Yesterday we had somebody that was doing a short film as well. Is it hard to keep it concise when you say keep it tight? Is it like, but there's so much I want to tell, and can I do it in just 6 minutes, 7 minutes?
I'm thinking that it definitely is very difficult, and I think that's one place where a lot of filmmakers get restless, actually. I'm a detail freak, so I was like, we're not going with the script until it's ready. I don't have a deadline. I have a mission, and it has to be good. So my writer, there'd be times where he'd be like, oh, well, we can just do this. And he was kind of, I think it was just like he was sort of hoping that would stick. And I'm like, no, it has to be, we have to have everything on the screen. I don't have much money. We have to see it all up there. And it has to be short. It can't just like, well, we make it longer so we can tell more. It was a challenge, but he was up to it. And then I utilized the wonderful thing about film versus radio is that I was able to utilize other things that you can tell the way the sisters are dressed. You automatically get a sense of the different personalities. So every little choice I made was to support that and get the most out of that 6 minutes.
Now, this film has been shown in a lot of places. I was looking at, we were at the Cheyenne Film Festival. Where else were you? All over the place, it looks like.
Yeah, actually it premiered, the world premiere was in Taos 1 year ago from this weekend, which is kind of fun. And Ashley Waits is in Queen's World, so I'm all over the place at the moment. But and then it's played in several places around the country. It played in Canada. I'm very honored because it's won several awards.
And list some of those awards for us.
Audience Awards, Best Short Drama, But, you know, and I'm very, very proud of the awards. But I won't lie to you, as a, again, my first time directing, what really has been the most incredible gift is that when I attend these festivals and share the film with the audiences, and that whether it's during the Q&A or it's afterward, having people come up and tell me how affected they are and that they're inspired. I've had everything from, that's just like my sister and me, to somebody coming up and saying, oh, I'm so glad to hear your story. Now I want to go make a film because I've been wanting to forever. And so just to know that something that you created lives beyond that DVD.
Now, do you hear primarily from women about this film, or is it touched some men too?
You know, I thought it was going to kind of end up being that way, even though the script is, it's not, you know, completely, you know, women-centric. It just happens to be two women, but I think the story could be anybody. And so it's been really interesting how many men have come up. And even in different regions of the country, I've had two different men come up and say to me, keep making films. We need more films like that. So you know that, you know, you're doing something well.
So are you?
Making
Still
more films?
Making
oh,
more
absolutely.
Films?
Absolutely. I have several. I have a short film, Ashley Waits, which is was produced for and directed for the U.S. Air National Guard's Wingman Project, which is a suicide prevention program.
Very cool.
And talking about your challenges, because I wanted it to, when I was brought on to that, I said, okay, but it has to be, it has to flow. Even it can't be just like a 12-minute PSA. Because it's mainly geared towards wingmen, towards guardsmen and their families, and to get them to intervene. It has to be watchable. It has to connect in a way that they don't feel they're being preached at, or, that doesn't relate. That's not me, so I don't even really have to pay attention. And that's actually been really well received and getting awards too.
Wow, that's great. So what's coming up next for you?
I actually have three shorts in the works right now. And
so I'm just a shortaholic then?
No, I'm a learnaholic. I want to learn. I'm trying different things. My next one that's in post-production right now is a comedy. And so I want to be able to, you know, explore different mediums, and then so that I don't feel like I'm tied into one specific niche, because both The Necklace and Ashley Waits are two women and one location kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I need to explore outside of that. So and I'm just I've been in talks, I've been approached about directing features, and so a lot of great things in the works.
Wow. And how has it been for you then? You just started this. I wanted to be a director, and then boom, it's happening for you. How does that work?
Well, I decided I wanted to produce a film, and then it was a big step to decide I wanted to direct. And the only reason I was going to do that was because I felt it would help me as a producer to know what they go through. And then through the experience of The Necklace, I just found a niche. I just found I'm in a zone. I love it. I love being able to be that creative part of bringing that story. I love collaborating with people, giving them, you know, cinematographers and writers and editors a playground that they can come and contribute to and be part of. And so that just kind of was really more of a business decision, and that ended up being a really, really good one, because that's what I love doing.
Very cool. Now you're down here in Durango. Have you been to a lot of the places that your film has aired or has been shown?
I have tried to travel as much as I can. And again, the main thing is because you want to see how it's, you know, if how audiences are responding. And also to be able to connect with and meet other filmmakers and other people who are in the business, so you can kind of, you know, use each other's resources and feed off of each other. And I've met a couple, some wonderful people here who I know, you know, will be in touch. And I try to travel as much as I can.
Is it a big networking thing when you go to all these festivals?
It really depends on how the festival is set up, to be honest with you. This has been a wonderful one for that, because they promote that. And it's very helpful because, I don't live in L.A. for one. And the first two filmmakers that I've met, one's in New York and one's in L.A. And so to be able to have, you know, resources there, but then they know me, they could use me as a resource. And it's huge if you can do it. It's not always easy. That's you're always looking around looking for who else has the filmmaker badge, and and you want to be able to go see their films too. And it just it's an incredible community, but it doesn't always happen at festivals. So I'm really excited it's happened here.
Have you been down to Durango before?
This is my first time.
No way. Being from Colorado?
I'm from Ohio originally.
Okay.
I lived in Arizona and New York as a flight attendant, but I had never been here. And the editor of The Necklace, Mark Bond, actually, he and his wife have a series of films that they do called In Times of War. And they had been here. They live in L.A. And they had been here a couple years ago with their films. And they were like, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. And I was like, okay, all right. And I got here, and I absolutely, it's wonderful. It's a great place for a festival.
And what was the process like for you in submitting the film here? Because there are a ton of shorts that are being shown here with so many different categories.
I just submitted the same way through Without a Box. What's exciting, too, is this is the Colorado premiere of The Necklace.
All
so
right.
This is the first time it's been shown in the state lines. Then I'm excited, too, because on April 6th, I'll be bringing her home up to Boulder. She'll screen up there. But as far as submitting, I just did the same paperwork. And that's the thing. It's really – it's a tough thing because it's so subjective. You know that your DVD is going to be among who knows how many others. And, you know, it could just go by the wayside. It could – you know, somebody could use it underneath their table to balance it out or something. It's like you just hope, though, that it gets in the right hands and that the right people see it. I told a friend of mine, I said, I think I'm going to start putting on the DVD that you're not allowed to be peeling potatoes or you're not allowed to answer the phone or anything while you're watching this film because it's like it's 6 minutes, okay?
You can tough it out for 6 minutes.
Exactly.
Well, do you have any – again, this movie, The Necklace, is showing tomorrow as part of the short series. That's Sunday at the Durango Arts Center at noon, so you can go and check that out. And you also have a website for this.
I do. It's thenecklace-themovie.com. And please do go on it because, again, you can find out a little bit more of the story of the necklace itself. You can find out about my actors who Kimberlyn Brown is from The Young and the Restless. She was played Sheila Carter for years. And Tracy Dinwiddie, who was in has a reoccurring role in Supernatural and has done several other films. And then also there's a really cool behind-the-scenes shot in Super 8. So.
Dun, dun, dun. Leave them cliffhanging there. Now, we'll switch it over to these guys who have never heard him be so quiet this whole time that I've met him so far.
We're very polite.
John Rubano and Craig Semetko. Let's first start out with a panel that you'll be discussing tomorrow from 11 till noon at the Backspace Theater called What's So Funny?
We John? Are going to be discussing what makes things funny. And It's very subjective, let's face it. Comedy is very subjective, and maybe one of the most difficult things you can do in the arts because it is so subjective. And we'll just be talking about what makes us laugh, how I approach my comedy, and how I've been trained, I guess, to come to the place where I find things funny.
Well, let's talk about your training, too, to let the listening audience know out there. You have been on 8 seasons of Life According to Jim, and you've also been on one of my favorite, and I've seen them perform, is Chicago Second City. You're an alum of them, and I believe Chris Farley is, too. There's a lot of greats that came through there.
Well, the alumni list of Second City is like, it blows your mind when you read it. Mm-hmm. It truly, truly is the face of modern American comedy.
Yeah,
I mean, it changed everything. And
Farley, Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, you know, Gilda Radner.
Yeah, it goes on and on.
John Belushi.
I mean, I was there with Steve Carell, Amy Sedaris. I mean, it's incredible. It's just a phenomenal thing. And I'm when I see my name on that list, I'm really humbled.
Yeah.
Well, and you also have a long list of doing animated, which I guess is a little bit different because it's not so improv.
Right, right. Well, you know, you go in, you read, and you do your thing, and it's...
They give you a check, and it's all good.
Well, there you have it.
Now, Craig, why did they ask you to be on here? You're an author and a photographer. What makes you so damn funny?
Well, believe it or not, my previous life before being a photographer, I wrote and performed comedy sketches for over 20 years. That was my day job. And in fact, my photography came about as a result of me doing a big corporate show for Motorola. It took me around the world to England, Ireland, Japan, China. I was playing, who was I playing? I was playing Elton John, Julia Child, and Austin Powers in that particular show. And as a result, though, I started taking pictures while I was in China and became obsessed with photography. And that ramped up, I kind of laid off doing the other stuff that I've been doing for so long. But you can still see a strong sense of humor running through my photography. You know, it doesn't go away.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
It still sticks with you.
Yeah, so I think that's why they asked me. Either that or they just needed a third person, and I happen to be in the area.
Now, the other person who is not up here with us is Stephen Michael Quesada, I believe is how you pronounce that, who plays Gomez on the Emmy-winning TV series Breaking Bad. So the three of you will have a lot of different insight coming from a lot of different perspectives about comedy and something. So Mary Lee is just doing this, has just done this comedy. What are some tips that you're going to give to some filmmakers that come in and people who just want to hear about what is so funny? Is it going to be like a stand-up act, or how does this work? Have you guys decided that even yet?
No. We have no idea what we're going to do, to be honest.
Isn't that clear by this interview so far? We don't know what we're talking about.
We're not going to get a little Julia Childs from you?
Well, perhaps we could. Okay. No. You take the liver and you rub it in the oil. That's as far as I'm going to go right now. But anyway, I think what I would like to talk about is really what Mary Lee talked about, and that's communicating with the audience. That's really, in comedy, it's about truth and authenticity. And what makes people laugh, they're laughing at something because they're relating to what they're seeing. Like, if you're being an idiot, making a fool of yourself, they're like, you know, I did that. I fell down in public, whatever it happens to be. You know, if they can relate to it because it's true, it will strike a responsive chord. It'll make them laugh. And really, it's the same thing when you're doing drama or comedy, you know. But if it's not based in authenticity, I don't think it works. You know, I mean, Gilda Radner once said, you know, comedy is dropping your pants in public. You know, there's a shock value to it, obviously. But part of the shock is because you're saying or doing something that is so overtly true. I mean, the best comedy, in my opinion, is that you can't believe they just said that, but it's totally honest what they just said. I mean, the more honest the comedy, I think the more people relate to it.
It's funny because it's true.
Right, right.
But it's different, wouldn't you say, doing stand-up than having something on film? Because you can practice it. You can see if it's funny. You can see if the crew in the back is laughing at that versus if there's just a cricket in the audience and you're live, it's just, that silence is the worst.
Well, stand-up, I've never done it. However, I know a lot of guys who have, and it's the tightrope of comedy. I mean, you're either funny or you're not.
Mm-hmm. And you learn real quick.
Yeah. I mean, it is the firing squad. You go out there and you put it out there by yourself with a mic and that's it. And if it's not funny, you'll know it right away.
Yeah. Yeah, the feedback is very immediate.
No, it's very immediate. But the thing is, along with truth, you know, you have to be truthful in everything you do. I think really, really funny comedy has to be very, very specific. Mm-hmm. It has to be really specific. Because even in slapstick, you know, you look at classic Chaplin or something like that.
Three Stooges.
Well, let's not get carried away. They slap each other in very specific ways.
Right. With a 2x4. With a 2x4, it's funny. If it were a glove, it's not funny. But a 2x4 is funny.
No, but it was very interesting in that you said you're very detail-oriented. And I think that everybody I know who has been successful in comedy is totally anal. I'm serious. They're really anal.
In some aspect of their life.
Yeah, some aspect of their life. They're very anal and very detail-oriented. And it's, that has to do with just being able to tell a story, too.
Yeah, I mean, because when you write a joke, you know, or you're performing in a script, and there's a punchline, there has to be, you know, a setup. You have to lead the person on, and then you have to hit them with this punchline. And this is what John's talking about. It has to be specific. And if it's not, you don't just go up there. I mean, comedians who go up there and just start rambling, I mean, sometimes it's good, but they really have to have a structure. They have to, you know, you watch the best ones. That has been gone over a number, you know, dozens if not hundreds of times to find out the exact right wording, you know. I mean, it's like, what was it? The Sunshine Boys. You know, they talk about use K sounds. K sounds are funny. You know what I mean? Just something like that. You know, a hard Germanic sound sounds funny. Like the word Buick. You know, I was riding in a Buick. And you know, it just sounds funnier than, you know.
Car.
A car or escape or, you know, whatever it is, you know. it's more specific. I mean, that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, the more specific you get. And it leads to the more specific you get, the more people can relate to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Because you're leading them. down the path where you want them to follow you, and then you hit them at the end with a punchline or an action or it's now, very specific.
Yeah. Now for you two, who are some of your idols in comedy that you look to? Like, that guy's hilarious or that lady kills me.
Well, as far as stand-up goes, I mean, I love George Carlin.
Yeah.
And you talk about the truth, he will crush you with the truth.
Yeah.
You know, he comes out and he starts in and then it's truth on truth on truth on truth. And the weight of the truth is so overwhelming. It's funny, but oftentimes you're like, oh my God, it crushes you too.
Yeah.
You know? And it works on so many different levels. Carlin did.
Yeah.
I loved Andy Kaufman.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Andy Kaufman because he was
more of the absurd comedy.
Right.
Well, and his level of commitment. I mean, his level of commitment. You know, it got him his eardrum pop. I mean, he got beat up in wrestling and stuff. He would take it to. I think today, you know, Sacha Baron Cohen is the guy who comes the closest to what Andy Kaufman used to do.
Right. Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt, but if you've seen Borat, I mean, you cannot believe the stuff that he does.
Yeah, that level of commitment is mind-boggling.
Or just recently at the Oscars with The Dictator when he dumps that
right on
the
Seacrest.
Ashes. Yeah, on Seacrest.
Yeah. But, you know, as far as stand-ups, like a current stand-up, I think Louis C.K. is, you know, I mean, talk about truth. I mean, you know, that's what I'm talking about. That guy is just speaking truth. Yeah, he's also a photographer, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's really why you like him.
Well, no, I just discovered that recently. Somebody said, yeah, man, look at this. The guy's into Leica cameras. He's a, you know, he's a photographer, which I found fascinating. But as an actor, I always loved Peter Sellers. I thought Peter Sellers was, you know, I mean, nobody probably knows who he is anymore. But, you know, I mean, he was the original Pink Panther and all that. I just thought that guy, there's a guy whose level of commitment. I mean, he was almost like schizophrenic when he would become a character, you know.
But then there's somebody like Mr. Bean, too, who's so different, but people still really seem to like him. Now, he annoyed me at first, but you got to kind of watch him to really like it.
Yeah.
He's an acquired taste.
Yeah. What's his name? Rowan Atkinson? Is that who that is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, for you, Mary Lee, listening to this and having just done, you have a comedy in post-production now. What are your thoughts on comedy and listening to these guys?
Oh, I'm sure I hit it out of the ballpark.
Yeah?
you know, actually, what I'm it's the truth. That's the thing, is that I think that's one of the things I see out on the festival circuit so often, is that I think there's a lot of talent that goes by the side because people feel they have to create something fake and bigger than or what have you, and they don't really realize. You know, when I started thinking about doing comedy, I'm like, okay, what funny things have happened to me? Not, okay, what kind of a creature or person character can I create so much? And I think that there's some people who do a wonderful job of that, but even then you put those characters into real situations. And so I think that I'm glad to know, like, talking about the truth, because again, my first comedy, and I definitely want to expand even more, being able to know that I think that that's where you do touch your audiences, drama or comedy. And instead of trying to create something that in a world that you don't even know and that you're not familiar with, but that there's enough goofy stuff that happens in my life that's where I can go for the truth.
Well, and I always think of Jerry Seinfeld, who would always, when, during his stand-up and during, he was an awful actor, and admittedly, he says that he was terrible at his delivery, but his stand-up was so on point, and that's what was funny about him, is because he was talking about nothing that was very true.
Right, and his acting was all basically, to me, it was just him sort of doing stand-up. The way he delivered his lines was the same way he delivered his stand-up. I mean, every line was sort of the same.
And the outtakes of that, I'm a huge Seinfeld fan, and I would watch after it was all done, and I got all the seasons. And afterwards, he'd be laughing. He could never keep it together as an actor. So there is a strong difference out there for listeners who think that stand-up is very similar to being a comedy actor. And Craig, you're shaking your head. No, it's different.
It's radically different. And oftentimes there are different personalities. You know, I mean, a stand-up comedian is a very individualistic, you know, person. Someone who comes out of Second City, you know, they're trained in collaboration. You know, it's all about work, yes, and, you know, and working in the middle of an improvisation. Those are, because I've met both people, and I've actually done stand up at corporate events, and I for years worked with a comedy group as well. And it's like John was saying, it's a very fine line when you're doing stand up, but the personalities are very different, and really what you're doing is kind of a very different thing too.
Very cool. Now, that's part of what you guys will be doing. Again, if you want to hear more about What's So Funny with Three Guys Who Know, that's coming up tomorrow, 11 o'clock until noon, and that's over at the Backspace Theater. So check that out, Sunday, March 4th. That's the last day of the festival. But then you guys are going to be partying well on into the evening with the award ceremony happening, and that's for first-tier pass holders, and that's happening tomorrow evening. So how did you two get chosen? John, I know you're from here. Craig, you're a fan of Durango, I guess we could call you. But how did you guys get chosen to be the co-host of this event?
Well, I've lived here for 3 years, and Brandon originally.
Mr. Donahue, Brandon roping Donahue. Everybody in.
Yes, yes.
From the Open Shutter Gallery.
Yes, yeah. He knew my background, and he said, "You know what? You'd be great as the host of the award ceremony. Would you like to do that?" And I was like, "Why not?" So this is the 3rd year I've done it, and since Craig's in town, I've roped him into co-hosting this year. So you're going to see two dancing monkeys Sunday night at 7 o'clock. And we have no idea what we're going to do yet, and it should be really funny.
Bang on.
Intentionally.
Yeah, right.
But Craig is also the photographer, the official photographer for DIFF this year as well.
Yeah, it's sort of all was a confluence of things there. You know, they asked me to be
and they Brandon.
Brandon and he gets you. And
he's
Joni.
A two-legged Satan.
Yeah, he's been trying to get me to come up and shoot this for about like 3 years, and finally, you know, I relented. I'm doing a project, not to get off on a different subject, but I'm doing a project on the United States, a photography project. So I'm driving all around. So I said, all right, this year I will make a commitment to go and be the official photographer. When I'm done with this, I'm going to hang out in the Southwest for a month, actually, shooting in, New Mexico, Arizona, and stuff like that.
Now, how is it? I mean, what do you do, like, photographing a festival? Are you just taking pictures? Are you the paparazzi?
It's radically different from what what I do.
It goes something like this. Hey, you drunk people, line up. I'm going to take your picture
now. And then we drunk people, I hope nobody sees us on Facebook.
Could you take your tongue out of her ear, please? Okay, a little bit further away. Okay, and smile. Yeah. No devil ears, no devil horns behind the person in front of you. You know, it's basically grip and grin. You know, it's a different thing. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to get people, in a perfect world, I would love to get them candidly because that's what I do. But, you know, the lighting in these venues where we're at is such that, you know, to really have it look nice, I've got to throw a big light on them and everybody's like, oh, my God, you know, there goes all spontaneity right there. So it's unfortunate. It's not the way I normally work. But we'll be able to get a feeling of what the event was like and all of the people that attended and what a good time they're having.
We were taking some flash pictures during the movies, and people started becoming very upset with us and asked us to leave.
So yeah, what was up with that?
It's like, do you want a photo or not?
God, just want to take a picture of you watching a movie.
Is that
big
so
deal.
Wrong?
Well, and Craig, speaking of spontaneity, I'll give you a quick prop that you just had a book signing on Thursday evening for your book, Unposed. So, and when you talk about there is the comedy in his photography, for those of you who have not seen that, I'm pretty sure you can get that down at the Open Shutter Gallery. But it is funny. They're funny. They're funny pictures.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's the way I see life. You know, I do. It's absurd. There's a lot of irony and absurdity out there. And it seems to surround me a great deal of the time. You know, it's like Hunter Thompson said, when the going gets weird, the weird turn pro. and that's when I get excited, when the weirdness starts going on around me. So I try to, I show it. I just show what I see, you know, and you're right. It is, I think that they have a small exhibition in the Red Room at the Open Shutter. I think that's going to be up for a little while, but you can see a bunch of my photos there.
And you've got a great shot. I believe that's yours of the horse that's trying to get up and rolling around. That shot right here in Durango.
Yes. I was here actually a couple of weeks ago for the snowdown. Yeah, and I was out taking pictures, and I was talking to some guy who said, I've got to go feed the horses.
That's over at Ed Zink's ranch.
That's where I ended up. I was taking pictures of a guy feeding horses, and he says, oh, hey, look at that horse. He's playing in the snow. And I turn around, and, you know, bam, here's this horse laying in the snow. So the shot that I got looks like this horse, you know, is in pain.
It looks like he's stuck almost.
Right. It looks like he's stuck trying to pull out, and everybody's like, oh, what happened to the horse? I'm like,
well, that was my exact thought.
Yeah, I had just shot it, and... no, that's not true. That was not truth. That was shock. See, there's the difference
there
right there.
Comedy.
But the I shocked you with that. The reality is that horse was playing in the snow, rolling around on his back, and I turned around just to see it. I wish I would have had that because he was like a dog laying up back with his feet up in the air. And then he was going to stand up, and that's when I got that picture. So, but it looks like he's, you know, trapped or something.
You can check out Craig's work for, I think it's a limited time or maybe for a while, and certainly his book down there at the Open Shutter Gallery.
It's certainly going to be there through Sunday, you know, through the film festival.
Very cool. Well, we have just seconds left here on the show, but we'll milk it out a little bit longer. Any closing statements from any of you, Mary Lee, Craig, or John?
Yeah, I was going to say, for me, be looking for one of my next films. I think I'm going to come up with a buddy film for John and Craig here. So,
all right.
It'll be called Co-Host.
And again, you can check out The Necklace coming up. That's tomorrow at noon at the Durango Art Center. And that website address again was?
TheNecklace-TheMovie.com.
And right. By the way, James Cameron has nothing on you.
You got that right.
Thank you.
And John, what do you have coming up next in the works for you?
Next week I'm going out to L.A. to do a small part in a big film, working with my old pal Steve Carell in his new movie with Jim Carrey, James Gandolfini, and Steve Buscemi.
Wow.
And then I'm going to hopefully bring a play that I've been doing for years called The Bicycle Men to Durango for the big pro challenge that's coming up in August.
Nice. Will you come up back on KDR and
do something with
this one?
I will pimp anything I'm doing.
How about for you, Craig?
I am in the middle of a year-long project on the United States. I literally was on the road 3 months driving throughout the country. When I landed here for snowdown, then I went home to L.A. for a couple of weeks. Now I'm back on the road. After I finish here Sunday, I'll be heading out for parts unknown.
All right. Well, this concludes the last edition episode of Reels to Radio here for the Durango Independent Film Festival. 7th annual, coming to a close tomorrow, so check that out. What's So Funny with Three Guys Who Know, that's coming up, the panel, 11 until noon tomorrow at the Backspace Theater, who's newly doing stuff with the film festival. And again, check out The Necklace coming your way tomorrow at noon at the Durango Art Center. Thank you very much for joining us here on KDUR.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
It was a pleasure.
We'll see you at the movies.